From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Well, fireworks all around the country launched to celebrate America's independence back in 1776, and look where we are now. And whether you are joined with friends and family or simply head to work, welcome to our celebration with you tonight. In a moment, who's behind the secret door for a few hours, followed by open lines this Independence Day. Here's what's happening. Hurricane Arthur, or what's left of it, has rained on many on Independence Day parades. And if they weren't canceled ahead of time, they got splattered with rain. But what the first named storm of this hurricane season has not done, it appears, is caused significant damage. Arthur was churning deep into the Atlantic Ocean, about 150 miles southeast of Cape Cod, the town of Chatham. It's still a hurricane with sustained winds of 80 miles an hour, though. The United States will remain the world's biggest oil producer this year. Can you believe that? After overtaking Saudi Arabia and Russia, as extraction of energy from shale rock spurs the nation's economic recovery. That's fracking. U.S. production of crude oil, along with liquids separated from natural gas, surpassed all other countries this year, with daily output exceeding 11 million barrels just in the first quarter. The country became the world's largest natural gas producer in 2010. And with all the hoopla of the Dow topping 17,000, the market's next focus will be whether the fast-approaching earnings season can justify U.S. stocks climbing further into record territory. Harry Dent, of course, the author of several best-selling books, including The Demographic Cliff. He is the founder of Dent Research, and we've got him on the line to react to how things look ahead. What do you think, Harry?
George, the market has gone nuts. It's going up with earnings slowing and the economy down in the first quarter, even though it will rebound in the second quarter. I think we are at a top that I've been forecasting for a long time, around 17,000 on the Dow.
And does it come plummeting down, or is it going to be gradual, Harry?
No. I mean, this is a bubble. When bubbles burst, they don't correct. They burst. And they go down. I think you're going to see a major correction into, say, March of next year, and then a bigger correction into late 2016,
Super.
Early 2017.
Harry Dent's website, harrydent.com. Harry, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your Independence Day as the weekend gets underway. This strange show, it feels like a Sunday night to me. Many people would rather inflict pain on themselves than spend 15 minutes in a room with simply nothing to do, according to a U.S. study. Boy, they study everything. Researchers at the University of Virginia and Harvard University conducted 11 different experiments to just see how people reacted to being asked to spend some time alone. More than 200 people participated in the experiments. Some were college students, others volunteers who ranged in age from 18 to 77. They were recruited from a church in a farmer's market. Researchers asked them to sit alone in a room with no mobile phone, reading, or writing materials, and then simply report back on what it was like to entertain themselves with the thoughts for between 6 and 15 minutes. Turns out, more than 57% found it hard to concentrate, and 89% said their minds simply wandered away. Well, the late Dr. Atkins would be happy. Instead of counting calories, those seeking to stay slim are better off enjoying a protein-rich diet and eating fish, eggs, and meat, according to scientists, because of the way the human body prioritizes protein over carbohydrates and fat. Those with a diet low in protein are likely to gorge on these other food groups to reach the target protein level. So over the past 60 years, the proportion of protein in Western diets has dropped, and researchers suggest this could account for the soaring levels of obesity. So they suggest eat a lot of protein-rich foods if you want to lose weight. That didn't happen, though, to Joey Josh Chestnut of San Jose, California. The reigning champ of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest gets to hold on to his mustard yellow belt. That's right. Joey Jaws Chestnut of San Jose packed away, get this, 61 hot dogs. I can barely eat two. 61 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes at the Coney Island Contest. Last year he won with 69, so he couldn't take it. It was 8 short this year. A newly discovered planet in a binary star system located 3,000 light years from Earth is expanding astronomers' notions of where Earth-like and even potentially habitable planets can form and how to find them. At twice the mass of Earth, the planet orbits one of its stars in the binary system at almost exactly the same distance from which Earth orbits our sun. However, the planet's host star is much dimmer, which means that the planet is colder. They even say colder than Jupiter's icy moon, Europa. On this Independence Day, of course, you heard the little clip of the movie. Thank God we didn't have any UFOs hovering over our skies trying to take over. But according to Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center, something's still in the skies. How much, Peter? What's up there?
Boy, it sure is. And happy 4th of July to you and the Coast listeners, George. As you know, I've done a lot of programs from strange venues over the last 19 years or so, but this is a first. I'm standing here with a garden hose in one hand, protecting my roof while I talk on the telephone, held with my other hand. It sounds like a fusillade out there.
Yeah, it is.
These people are braver than I. They're shooting off fireworks in the middle of tens of thousands of acres of ripe wheat.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think I'd want
careful.
To do that.
No.
A lot going on. I didn't report last week. I'd like to go back to the 24th of June, Avalon, California. Three people driving north on I-5 just south of Sacramento. One of them looked up through the moonroof and saw a very bizarre disc, not more than 30 feet above them. They were shocked, and they had not only psychological but physiological reactions to this event. I may report more about this in the near future after we've talked to the three people at greater length. Saturday, the 28th, last week, 6 days ago, Red Hook, New York, which is just north of Poughkeepsie on the east side of the Hudson River, father and daughter were outside looking at the night sky. They saw four orange triangles, distinctly orange triangles, go over right above their head, headed to the north-northwest. It's an interesting report, and people can read it on our website. It's featured on our homepage. The father was a senior officer in the military. He said he's familiar with every type of military aircraft we have in our arsenal. He said this was nothing like it. And yesterday, the very interesting report, George, Bryan, Texas. I don't know where that is yet, but we just got a report from a young woman and her father tonight. Yesterday morning, July 3rd, she was awakened by a very bright light in her backyard. She looked out, and there was an object, she estimates it was between 2 and 4 feet in diameter, streaking all around the backyard at their home. Their dog was going berserk over this. We posted that to our homepage, but I see there's a flaw on our homepage. Our trusty webmaster updated, but there's some glitch, but we'll get it straightened out either tonight or tomorrow morning. And just to close it off, tonight I've received about 60 reports from all across the United States of these orange and red fireballs, starting in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Jeez, they're still over.
We'll have those posted in the near future. So if people see something tonight, please don't call if you can possibly arrange it. Submit a written report if they can.
All right, Peter. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the holiday. Now, for the next couple hours, who's behind the secret door? My staff has put together four special Coast to Coast guests who have been past guests, present guests, and I have to guess who they are. So up next, we'll go to guest number one, followed by later on tonight, open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and who's behind the secret door? So let's open up the door and see if I can find out. See, I can't see who they are, so I don't know who they are, but let's open the door. And the secret mystery guest, hello there.
Happy 4th of July, George. How are you?
I am fine, and now I have to try to guess who you are. Hmm. Are you, feel like, what's my line? are you in the paranormal field?
You could say that.
You could say that, huh? One down, two to go. No. Oh, gosh.
Well, I could tell you a hint.
Okay, give me a hint.
Here's a hint. You and I took a selfie.
We took a selfie. Hmm. Were we? Did we ever tape a Beyond Belief television show?
I don't know if I should tell you the truth.
Well, you have to answer if I ask you a question.
Yes, we did.
Heidi Hollis? I gotcha. How are you, Heidi?
Too easy.
Happy Independence. Well, I'm supposed to guess who these are.
Am I your first selfie that you've ever done, George?
I don't normally do selfies. That's right. You might want to explain how we did the selfie. You were taping in Denver with us, our Beyond Belief TV show, and you held up your phone and did your thing.
Yes, I did. I kind of twisted your arm and pinned you and said, come on, George, let's do the selfie.
You should send that to me. So
I will.
So I can post it on the Coast to Coast website.
I will definitely do that. I didn't even get to my list. I mean, this is just not good. I should not have started off with selfie. I figured you might have done them before.
And being the first secret door guest, you're cut short in time, Heidi, so I'm sorry for that. But one, happy Independence Day. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. And
what is new with you? The last time we talked about the secret war. You're talking about shadow people and things. You still doing that?
Actually, I just released the Hatman book, so that is out on HeidiHollis.com, and the print version is coming out this Monday, actually. So, but if you want to order ahead, go to HeidiHollis.com, and you'll be able to get it. And it's the first book of its kind, just focusing on the Hatman, and of course, a little dab of shadow people. But the secret war has the shadow people.
The Hatman is different from the shadow person, isn't it?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And it was my mistake when I first brought the topic of shadow people to the forefront. I called him Hatman Shadow. So people still kind of confuse him as being a shadow person, but he is not. He is fully different and has a pretty different, I guess you could say, agenda compared to the shadow people.
And Heidi, you've heard, of course, of this this craze over what is called Slender Man. And Slender Man, of course, there was a tragedy several weeks ago when some girls stabbed another girl brutally.
Do you want to hear something weird about that, George?
Yeah.
Okay, so I released my book, The Hatman, and about 4 days later, this incident happened in my hometown of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I cannot help but to think and suggest that perhaps, I know one of the little girls said that she had a dream that Slender Man said, you know, do this for me to enter into his realm or whatever. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, which came first? Did the Hat Man truly come to her and she, you know, went to describe this thing online, came up with this and thought, oh, it must be Slender Man, and just kind of contributed her dream to that. And I really can't help but to think of that, because the Hat Man does suggest awful things like that. So which came first? Did she have the dream, you know, or
Good
did
point.
She see the Slender Man on TV? So I'm really leaning towards that perhaps, you know, he's stepping up his game. And it's kind of a scary incident. I mean, the coincidences were unbelievable. And I could tell you this, when I put out the Hatman book, A True Story on Evil Encounters as a subtitle, and I started having some issues myself. I've had, you
really?
Know, odd paranormal things go on. Yeah, I think he's a bit ticked at me, and that's just too bad because I think it's time to put the word out there on what he's up to and what he can influence. And I'm really kind of concerned about, you know, this may be the beginning of some worse things to come. And he went to my hometown. I mean, wow.
Now, worse things to come for you or for everybody?
I think for everybody.
Oh, great.
Yes, and I think
we could sacrifice.
Sure.
We'll sacrifice you, Holly, but not for all of us, for crying out loud.
No, well, I don't know. Maybe if I could get a selfie and send it on over to you, I don't know. But
now, all right, give us your definition of the Hat Man.
The Hat Man is something that a lot of people have equated to being a guardian or the devil. It depends on people's perception on what he does, how they feel when they see him. And, you know, it's kind of a combination of things. And what's really interesting to me, you know, one of the differences between shadow people and the Hat Man is the Hat Man, you could be dreaming about him. Wake up and he's there.
Yeah.
So
in your room?
In your room, yes. I've had people tell me, you know, I dreamt of him. I rolled over in the bed, saw him there, freaked out, fell on the floor, and really woke up, and nobody was there.
Now,
so it's like a double awakening.
Are these hats like Abraham Lincoln hats, or are they hats that like Frank Sinatra used to wear?
You know what? It's all of the above. And believe it or not, he has actually worn a cowboy hat even. So he changes it up. And now get this. I have to say this, though, too. You know, when this competition for the Slender Man came out for, you know, somebody to put out, you know, what could be spooky, and an artist came up with this, I'm wondering if that artist, you know, who entered that contest actually had experienced the Hat Man. So it really isn't a stretch of the imagination that this is what they came up with. I mean, what is the Slender Man? He wears a three-piece suit. He has no face. He's very pale.
Very,
I mean,
very tall and very thin.
Exactly. And the tentacles that have been seen on the Hat Man is also something that's depicted with the Slender Man.
Same thing,
I'm like, really? That's not a stretch of the imagination. That's not very creative because this is happening. You know?
Years ago when people would say, oh, I see this, you know, shadowy creature, looks like he's got a hat on. Most people would think, time to go see your shrink, right?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Now, do they still say that, or is it less?
You know, what's interesting to me, I still get tons of emails from people saying, I thought it was the only one. You know, I cannot believe this. Thanks for your website. Now I know I'm not crazy. Like, they kept it away like a secret, and a dirty secret. And it's sad to me. I think more people are realizing they're not alone. They're not crazy. And you know what's really hilarious to me, but it really shouldn't be, is how people go through a list oftentimes in their emails to tell me, I don't do drugs. I wasn't drinking that night when I had this experience. And it's really, you know, I think a lot of these people are suffering from a post-traumatic stress disorder, much like those who experience alien abductions and, you know, who don't know what's the face behind these sudden symptoms they're getting, only to be, you know, met with the memory of this Hat Man figure. I mean, I've had people, I mean, it's heart-wrenching. I've had people tell me, my childhood was robbed from me thanks to this evil piece of crap. I mean, it's so horrible. I don't even know how people can't realize that this stuff is actually going on.
Does the Hat Man physically hurt somebody?
Yes, he has.
He does do that, too.
Yes, he has.
That's not good.
Yeah, he's shoved people. He's thrown them. I had a guy tell me he wrestled, punched him, flung him. Oh, yeah. Really, really physical contact with this guy.
Heidi, give out your website because, you know, our webmaster doesn't know who you are yet. He's catching up to put it up on the website just so we would spill the beans on me. So
yeah, no, it's all good. HeidiHollis.com, and I also have FickleFinders.com, which is a graphic novel I'm putting together that will touch base on all the topics that I do with shadow people to holy encounters to the Hat Man. So, so far so good. I treat the paranormal very much like a regular topic and not trying to clear a room and scare people, but to get them to really understand and accept what's going on out
there
in the
world. Well, thank you, Heidi. We love you. Have a great weekend, okay? Heidi Hollis. Up next, another Secret Door guest on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Let's open up the secret door. All right. Hello there, guest.
That thing, it's cold.
Who are you?
It's your problem.
Huh. Are you a male or a female?
I don't. What kind of question is that?
All right, you're a guy.
Political correctness police will come get you, Dory.
Oh, this is close. This is close.
Yeah, sure it is.
I know who this is. Do you deal with ancient astronauts and visitations?
Only when they land.
Are you Marshall Klarfeld?
No.
You're not.
Are you Zsa Gabor?
Gosh, no, hold on. Let me guess again.
All right. You could be Joan Rivers.
Do you deal with the paranormal? I always ask the guests.
Everybody deals with the paranormal. George, get a grip.
Is that what you come on for on this program?
What do you consider paranormal?
Are you into technology?
Everybody's into technology, George.
Well, you're not helping, are you?
No, but think about Mel Blanc. Who do you know who knows who Mel Blanc is?
Not many.
Well, there you go.
There's one person, but...
All right, who would that be?
I talked to him years ago about that.
Yeah, who is that?
Oh, God.
Come on, Nori. Step up.
He deals in internet stuff.
No.
All right, I give up. Who are you?
No, keep going. I could run my whole guest chat having you guess.
Well, by the time I guess, you'll be off the air with me.
I'll give you one more hint.
Now I know.
Oh, yeah.
George Ure.
Of course.
Great voice.
Well, we've both been around broadcasting, and so it's really easy.
Good job.
It's really easy for, I used to work with, years and years ago at KOL up in Seattle. There was a gifted guy by the name of Lan Roberts, and Lan was probably as good as Mel Blanc at some of his voices. And I learned how to do, I didn't do, W.L. Street Senior. but there were all these different characters, and it's really part of the art and magic of radio that, unfortunately, Formula Top 40 Radio has pretty much died and buried.
But you know what? We're here. Talk radio's still here, Georgie.
Yeah, it sure is. And you're the best, George.
Well, I try. I'm not the best, but
you don't do voices very often.
No, but I do them. I mean, I do them when I'm not on the air. I do a lot of them.
Well, yeah, but you should try that sometime. You know, when you get somebody who's really getting off into the ethereal, here come the Pleiadians part.
Well, you never know.
Drop in a voice.
That's true. Anyways, what's new with the urban survivalist that you are?
Well, let's see. We're still watching the word counts off our Nostrakotis.com project. that's the software that we have that goes out and just does word frequency counting of different words that are coming up and going down in popularity. You've talked recently to Chris at the National Dream Center project. He's got that up and rolling really nicely. Your comments with Harry Dent a couple of minutes ago. There's a really interesting confluence in the market coming up. We actually may go into a what would be kind of like a super bubble. There's a technical case that the Dow could go up into that 25,000 kind of area. It's a low probability thing, but it certainly is possible before we get to the end of the run, which probably will come along before 2017.
But it's tough. It's difficult for people to jump in if they don't know what's going to happen with that bubble.
Yeah, it really is. You can kind of get a sense in the first couple of trading days of a quarter, like we just went through the run-up going into the 4th of July holiday. Obviously, when the big money is making a major commitment and you see the Dow go up, you know, 100 or 200 points at the beginning of a quarter, that means that professional money managers generally are still pretty optimistic. In the Trader's Almanac, I think it's the 26th of August is the average day for the market high in these summer rallies that occur on a somewhat predictable basis. Another thing that I'm sort of watching really closely is the filing, and you mentioned it quite appropriately, Epic's filing against Facebook before the Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. I wrote a book a couple of years ago. We talked about it, Broken Web, The Coming Collapse of the Internet, just a little ebook, but it looks ahead at some of these things. And one of the interesting questions that comes along is how soon before social media goes the way of citizens band radio? In other words, there's a tremendous amount of traffic on social. But at what point does the public mood change, like it did with Hula Hoops, like it did with TV radio?
And MySpace.
And MySpace, yeah. And in fact, I was just sitting here looking at Google Trends, and I put in Facebook, and I was quite surprised to see that Facebook's interest had peaked in 2013. Huh.
But it only changes, George, if there's another trend to go to.
Yeah. And there's also incidentally a kind of other aspect of these trends. There's often a male-female or almost a sexual mystique about them. When Citizens Band Radio really took off, It was when young women started using Citizens Band radios. And it's almost like CB radio passed kind of a gender thing. And now Facebook and the other social media are where people go to check other people out. You know, is that the kind of person I want to be seen with? Is that the kind of person I want to ask out? Well, let's see what kind of person they are. And so there's all that interpersonal contact research stuff going on. So I don't think social is going to go away, but I think that it may disperse more. My son is really into skydiving, and so I've sort of watched him go from big heavy on general social media to getting more involved in his tribe, if you will, you know, the people that fall out of airplanes for fun. And so I think there might be some segmentation coming up from social general to where we go back to more of the discussion forums. But that remains to be seen in coming years.
George, as we look at other trends that are happening in terms of politically, war, you know what? It's been a long time since I have felt that, you know, the bottom could fall out. Not economically. I think we're, you know, holding on there, but something's going to happen worldwide. I can't put my finger on it, but I can feel it. What about you?
Well, there's a number of theories out there. One of the automotive outfits nationally has an ad running right now where it's an auto product, auto services group, and the odometer is rolling over 91179, which comes up next Wednesday if you're keeping track of it. And the conspiracy boards are all abuzz with that because they think, you know, oh, 911 replay will happen on 79. Now, you know as well as I do that maybe was just a random number put up on the odometer.
Mm-hmm.
Or some clever viral stuff. I mean, that's pretty sneaky advertising.
Well, and you know what? The smart advertiser knows how to play now with social networking.
Yeah, exactly. And all it has, and that video, by the way, went viral, and it's really just taken off. The other thing I wanted to mention is since this is the 4th of July, two of my real hot buttons are America Needs a Dream. we haven't had, and you and I talked about this before, we still haven't come up with a replacement for going to the moon.
No, we haven't had a dream since 1969.
Yeah, and that's what we're missing that. You know, damn, we've got China off starting to make claims on Mars. And, you know, we're sitting here, you know, with our domestic problems, and we can't seem to look up from the dinner table and, you know, think those loftier thoughts.
Well, we need to come up with a clear-cut plan, George, and we don't have one nationally. I mean, if you watch what's been happening at our borders down there,
oh, yeah.
Oh my God, they just seem to be out of control. You know, border agents are screaming for more help. You know, that's where, and I'm all for immigration, and I've said this before, but, you know, the immigrants that have come into this country legally, those people did what they had to do to become Americans. They got to be ticked off to see what's happening right now.
Yeah, there is a migration path to get there, I think. I started, you know, every once in a while start a new website where I can kind of collect all my thoughts on different ideas. And this one's called Datamocracy. And the idea is pretty simple. It involves, because we have a pretty robust internet, we're trusting our stocks, our life savings, and our banking to it, so why not trust moving government over onto it? We start with online voting, and I know that's going to raise all kinds of problems.
That'll be tough.
Well, but, you know, look, you're doing it with your checkbook. You're doing it with your stocks.
I know, but, you know, what about fraud?
Well, yeah. What about it? Do you trust voting machines?
Not black box voting machines, not electronic voting machines. The old punch card system was the only way to go, I think. It was just too slow.
Too slow, exactly.
Heck, when I was a kid watching election returns with my father, and you'd see Cronkite there and other people like that, there was a guy, they'd take a picture, George, as you remember.
Mm-hmm.
CBS would take a picture of their election central. And there'd be a guy up there changing the election results with cards.
I remember it.
He had like 8, and he put it up there. And it was like the old guy at the ballpark. I mean, you know, now with everything electronic, I don't trust anybody. I mean, if somebody were to say so-and-so just won in Florida, I would think they took the election electronically.
Well, the migration path that I suggest is that if we could get to the point where we could move an election or a series of elections onto the internet, then there's no reason that Congress could not disperse, go back to their home districts. We've got WebEx, we've got GoToMeeting, we've got Skype, we've got Skype Video. Why can't we disperse Congress? And instead of leaving all those guys back there in Congress where they're really, you know, chum for the K Street Mafia to come down and buy policy and offer influence, get politicians back into the districts where they can be responsive to the people.
I mean, I do see the day, it's going to happen, where you can vote with your smartphone. You know, you wake up in the morning, you don't have to go to the polls, you don't have to wait in line, you just, you know, hit your number, you get your confirmation number, maybe you're registered with the election commission.
And you get your thumbprint, your biometrics.
You got it there, and you just hit the button, and you're done. You know, I'm amazed. You know, I fly a lot these days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still use a physical boarding pass, but I've been seeing over the last couple of years now people bringing their smartphones with their boarding pass barcode on it, and they just walk up to the gate, and they go, boop, hold their phone right up there, and on they go.
I thought about that myself, but I live in mortal fear of having the battery go dead.
Or something like that. I like the fact that I physically have my boarding pass or something. Look, I just got into, a few years ago when our company started doing this, direct deposit. I always used to like having the physical check.
Oh, yeah.
The physical check.
Yep.
And, you know, now it's direct deposit. But I do have to tell you, it's really convenient because you don't have to go to the bank. It's just there.
But why isn't Congress at home being in the district where you can go down to the congressman's office?
Yeah, you can't do that. They won't let you in.
Right, Right, but the technology, George, and if we're going to really persist in the notion of leading the world, the rest of the world is evolving new technologies all the time, and we're getting sidetracked.
Well, we sure are. George, I want you to look into your crystal ball. We've got a few minutes left here with you, four to be exact, and I want you to tell us what the next year will be like.
Okay, well, let's see. McCleary is going to have his NationalDreamCenter.com Project August stuff out here in about, 3.5-4 weeks. So
okay.
that may offer some better insights. Looking at it as a long wave economics type, I think we still have the chance of going up in the markets. I think that the recovery, and there's a lot of people that are skeptical of this recovery, but it seems to still have some legs under it. The biggest long-term challenges we have as a country, crystal ball-wise, are robotics that are coming along and will be replacing more jobs, and couple robotics with self-driving cars and 3D printing. Those going forward for the country are the big issues we've got to wrap our arms around, because they will tend to reduce jobs, and as they reduce jobs, we've got to find some other way to run this economy. The problem that we have right now is that we've been in a period of falling interest rates since 1982, 83. And when interest rates were at 10%, it only took $1 million of life savings in order to get $100,000 a year of income. But with the rates down closer to 2%, if you want $100,000 of income today, you need a bankroll of $5 million or better.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, it isn't going to happen. And it already has happened, obviously, for people who saw it coming and leveraged and so forth. But in terms of the future, I think that disappearing jobs, we live in a society where, you don't remember 1930, but I've studied it enough that I feel like I almost can remember it. In the 1930s, there was a lot of job sharing. And in a sense, Obamacare, because so many employers are cutting back their hours, it's almost like a modern form of job sharing. And so the people who are marginally attached or working not enough hours to get benefits, they still don't count as unemployed, although it's not a survivable wage. And you look at some of the other indications that were skirting the Great Depression, too, and those include things like AmeriCorps. AmeriCorps is a great program, but when you look at what it does and who it serves, it looks like the reincarnation of the Civilian Conservation Corps. And people don't like to be reminded that those are, economic realities, and they certainly are appropriate sociopolitical responses to an economic problem. But the larger problem is factory automation, reduction of human labor input. And we can't all grow up to be lawyers, and we can't all grow up to be accountants. And so the real question is, what are we going to do? Do we go back to the arts? Do we go
do clever voices on radio?
What is it we're going to do to entertain, keep ourselves busy, improve our lot as humans? And that's one heck of a challenge.
The next genius will come up with that, no doubt, George. Hey, thanks for spending your Independence Day with us.
Oh, my pleasure, George.
Anytime you want us back.
You got it. George Ure, Urban Survival. He's a great guest. I'll be back. Another hour to go with Who's Behind the Secret Door. That'll be two guests, and then we'll have open lines for the rest of the night on Coast to Coast AM.